Good morning, church. How we doing? Oh, man. Hey, by the way, you know that when I say good morning, church, I'm not talking to the building, right? You guys are the church. The church is the people of God, in the place of God, serving God. And this is his place, and you're his people. And when you go here today, the church goes with you. God goes with you. And this wasn't planned this morning, but at the beginning of the service, I just wanted to just take a moment and acknowledge a little bit of what's going on in our world today. If you're outside, it's very smoky out there. It's a little harder to breathe, and we're quite a ways away from what's happening. Right now in the town of Paradise and the surrounding areas, over 100,000 acres have been burned. Over 23 lives have been lost, probably more. And it's not just the lives, but people's homes, their jobs, their community. And in times like this, it's easy to wonder, what do? Or maybe just chalk it up to bad stuff happens in the world and just to be like, all right, I'm just going to go on with my life and not consider it much. I wanted to just pause this morning and ask for us to be the church. And so there's a few things I'm going to invite you into. In a moment, we're going to have just some time of prayer. Just silently where you are. But I'm going to ask you to pray for the fire victims, for the community, for the firefighters. But I also want you to pray for yourself. We've been in a series now for a handful of weeks called Forgotten God. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you today. Because maybe there's something you can do. Maybe there's a family you know that you're going to reach out to. Maybe there's easy ways for you to help somebody in need. And honestly, in the church, everything's happened so quick that we're looking to respond this week. How, what can we do? Maybe you would be the one to take a bunch of donations to those in need. Maybe you would want to head up a trip. A relief effort, if you will, to help clean up. I don't know what God's speaking to you this morning, but we're going to do a few things. We're going to pray in a minute. When you leave today at the doors, we're going to take an impromptu offering, and anything that you give in that is going to go to organizations that are helping with the fire relief. But I'm also going to stick around after the service, and maybe God would be speaking something to you about how you want to help. Or, yeah, you could drive a truckload of goods up to Paradise, or you could help organize a relief trip. Come afterwards, let's talk, and then this week, probably with the midweek email going out and maybe some other communication, we want to see how we can be the church to those around us in need. So if you would, please join me in prayer right now. And just where you are, just pray silently and pray for those things mentioned, but also pray for yourself. And let's just say, God, we're your church. How would you lead us this morning and this coming week? Father God, we pray for ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to us this morning. Some of us haven't even hit pause long enough to hear that. And as we come to you here this morning, we know that you are God, that you are good, that you are hope, that you are powerful, that you can speak and you can stop the fires. But even when the fires burn, that your majesty is not diminished. And so, Lord, we pray for those that are suffering, those who have lost. May you be the God of comfort and peace and nearness, and may they experience life through your people, Father God. We are a church here at Sunrise, but you are the King of the church. Your people are all over, including right here this morning. So lead us and guide us as we respond to you and listen to you. In your name, amen. Well, what does God have for you this morning? There's a lot of things going on. Amazing baptism testimonies, the reality of the fire north of here. And then there's our lives, your life. I don't know if you're anything like me, but this week felt a little crazy. And in the big scope of things, you realize, well, that's just my world. It's not a big deal. But it's your world, right? In some ways, it's the most real thing that's going on. It's right in front of you. My wife, her arm has been hurting all week, and she can't use her right arm. There's been 6 trips to the doctor. This is coming off of a month of sickness. And in the midst of this, it is easy, I have found, to so simply go back to just your fleshly, selfish ways. You ever experienced that? You go through your own emotional ups and downs. Things get tough. And honestly, there's many of you in this room that are going through much tougher things than I am, I know. And I know that I can get a little selfish, withdrawn, impatient, at times snappy, lacking self-discipline, getting by on my own strength. And friends, this message is for me as much as it is for you this morning. Because the two questions that have stirred up in me with this is, and I have to ask this to myself, is, Greg, what does God have for you right here this morning? And there's a second question I have to ask myself is, Greg, will you take hold of it? Will you walk in the flesh? Will you walk in yourself? Will you try to just hold yourself together and kind of just keep plugging on? Or will you take hold of what God has for you this morning? And I ask the same question to you. Well, to look at what God has for us this morning, we are going to turn in the book of Galatians to chapter 5, starting in verse 13. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. And in Galatians 5:13, we start by reading these words. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Free. God has called you to be free. Free to be alive. Free to be who He made you to be. Free from sin, from your past. Free from guilt and shame. Free to follow the leading of His Spirit in your life. Not hindered, not held back, not enslaved, but called to be free. And I ask you the question, church, are you free this morning? Are you free this morning? In the beginning of this chapter, in verse 1, Paul writes to this Galatian church that he is encouraging that it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He says, "Stand firm then, and don't be burdened any longer by the yoke of slavery." The picture here for the Christian is a jail door that's been flung wide open. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer captive. Walk through those doors and live in it. Don't run back to the jail cell. Jesus told us similar words in John chapter 8 when he said, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You see, there's this thing called sin, and every single one of you does it. It is as common as the human condition of anything that I can mention. I know 100% everyone in this room, in this town, in this state, in this country, in this world suffers at the hands of sin. You have a holy, perfect God, and you have sinful people. We all fall short. I fall short of my standards of what's good. You fall short of your standards of what's good. And there's a holy God, and all of us fall short of his holiness and perfection. And if you sin, well, you're a slave to sin. But, as it says here, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Jesus went to the cross not just because it was the ultimate sacrifice, but it was a rescue for me and for you this morning. He would give up heaven. He would come and suffer at the hands of men and give his life on a cross so that you may be free. Romans puts it this way, therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Friends, if you know Jesus this morning, he has set you free. The law of his Spirit sets you free from the law of sin and death. You were called to be free. Are you free this morning? As this verse goes on, there's also a warning. It says, all right, you are meant to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Makes sense? Sometimes easier said than done. What he's saying is you're set free, so be free. Don't use your freedom to do whatever you want, because sometimes whatever you want to do makes you a slave again. I experience this all the time working with college students. College in our culture is these 4 years of the thought of just, I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm away from my parents. There's all these opportunities in the world, and I can do what I want. And I'd have great conversations with college students about just the thought, is doing what you want making you more alive? Is doing what you want making you more free? Or is doing what you want making you more of a slave to the things that you do? We're not to use our freedom to indulge in the flesh, but get this, and this is just up in the bar right here, but rather to serve one another humbly in love, because the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so you start to see this picture, this crazy gospel picture, that Christ sets you free to love others selflessly. Why do we care about others who have lost their homes? Why do we care about those that are hurting? Why do we care about those that are living in slavery to sin and don't know the freedom in Jesus Christ? Well, to be honest, if left to your own selfish devices, you don't. But there is a God who has loved us. And as he is alive in us, it changes the way we see everything. Freedom. God has that for you this morning. Well, let's talk practically, right? How can I have that? How can I experience that in my life? I've made this mistake, and maybe you have too, to think that, okay, I can conjure that up. Be more free, be more relaxed, be happier, be more loving, try harder to be a good fill in the blank. I found that when I talk to somebody and their view of their Christian faith is, well, I'm trying harder, they're usually failing. Because the operative word there is I. And when it's us, what we have is our yucky flesh that we bring. Our sinful selves. We can't do it. But he can. And it comes through, this is where a real relationship with God comes in. A real relationship where it's not just you trying to do it. It's not just our efforts or our best foot forward. It is the Spirit of God alive in you. And look where this verse goes. This passage goes in verse 16. If there's one verse you remember today, it's this. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." God made you to be free, but sin gets in the way of that. But if you walk by the Spirit of God, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I love this picture, walk. It's a journey. It's a moment-by-moment thing. I can be walking with the Spirit, or I can be still. I can be running away from the Spirit. After running away from the Spirit, I can pause, turn around, and walk with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so, friends, this morning, we have the opportunity to examine ourselves. Is your life one that is reflected by walking intimately with the Spirit of God or living in yourself? Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." I love that attitude. Search me, God, show me. I love that it says here, test and know my anxious thoughts. The psalmist doesn't just pray, take away my anxious thoughts, get them out of here. It says, test me, know me. It says, it's an acknowledgement. God, I'm anxious. Show me what's going on there. See if there's a root of sin that's contributing to that. If there's a wrong belief or wrong action or something that you just want me to learn and know and lead me in your way everlasting. Jesus said that whoever sins is a slave to sin. And the book of Romans says that if your faith is in Christ, you're no longer a slave to sin. Jesus has set me free, but sin leads to slavery. And you look at this and you start to realize this tough reality. And I'm going to be honest with you for a second. Sometimes Christians can be really miserable people. Have you ever experienced that? Don't raise your hand if you're one of them. But honestly, maybe here you're experiencing that. And this makes sense. We're starting to see the picture of this battle that is going on. Because if you're a Christian and you're living in sin, well, that's not what God says you are. God says you're a slave to righteousness. You're a child of God. You have the Spirit inside of you, so there's a certain measure of guilt that you're going to experience living in sin. It's not congruent with who you are as a follower of Jesus. And then you come to church to connect to God, and you worship God, and you read His Word. But you feel guilty because the sin is with you. There's a picture that our friend Francis Chan, who wrote the book Forgotten God, which this series is based on. And Janelle, if you could bring that out for me, please, that'd be great. That I want to share with you guys this morning. If you were with me a few weeks ago, you would know that I like chocolate milk. So if you weren't here a few weeks ago, we talked about chocolate milk. And how it's a great illustration of understanding the Spirit-filled life. As a Christian, when we come to know Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. It's like the milk getting the Hershey syrup. And then as we're filled with the Spirit of God, it's like we're being stirred up. And chocolate milk is a great representation of a life where God is leading us and filling us. Janelle, can you bring the next one out, please? I love chocolate milk. You know what else I love? Lemonade. Oh, lemonade. Sweet. Sugary. Like summer day, you know, it's so perfect. I love lemonade.
I love lemonade.
I love chocolate milk. You know? And it's kind of like you wake up in the morning and you say, I love you, God. I'm getting drunk tonight. I can't wait to spend time in your word, God. Naked girls on the internet. I love you, brother. I can't stand her. And we do this back and forth, and you know what it is? It's grotesque. Let me tell you. It's not good. And we wonder why we're spiritually sick. We wonder why we're not satisfied. You guys get it. I'm putting that away. But isn't that how we live? No, I'm not putting away. We're taking this further. Isn't that how we live sometimes? Because the thing is, maybe you're sitting, oh, Greg, I don't go back and forth. That's not what I do. But maybe you've got that little thing. And you're just like, but God, it's just that little thing. And it's mostly chocolate milk, but, you know. No! All right, now we're putting this away. Oh, I have to do that second service too. We'll see how I'm doing. But back and forth, and it's no wonder that we can be miserable. And you know what? This has been going on since the beginning of time. In fact, look at verse 17. Funny how our Bible just highlights these things and points them out so plainly. It says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Friends, it's saying this, doing whatever you want is going to lead you down the wrong path. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And you also have this fleshly mortal body that one day will redeem the other side of this earth. But right now, you are in a battle. I may have told the story before, but there was a guy who had two dogs. They were pretty big dogs. They would fight with each other. Someone said, well, who wins? And the owner just simply said, whichever I feed the most. And that's your battle between the spirit and the flesh. But notice what it says in verse 18. But, and you know something good's coming when there's a but in the Bible. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you won't experience slavery. You'll experience freedom. If you are led by the Spirit, you will truly be living a free life that God has for you. Back when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, someone shared something with me, and it's just a little acronym. I want to share it with you this morning because a lot of times it's like, okay, Greg, like filled with the Spirit, that sounds like a great thing. How do I do that? What does that look like? And notice the images in this passage. Walk was one of them. You're going to see later, keep in step. This is an ongoing thing. This isn't just a one-time thing, but a day-to-day choice. And as we can grow in it and learn to trust God and walk in this. But this little acronym that's really helped me out is just the acronym DRY. What do you do in the Christian life when you're feeling dry? When you're just not in that right place with God, and you're seeing kind of the fruits of that sinful flesh bubbling up in your life, or maybe overpouring. We'll start with this. The first one is D, desire. What is my desire here right now? What is your desire here this morning? Do you want to leave here with more of your stress, your problems, your solutions, your working your best to make it all happen, your sin? Or do you desire to be indwelled and led by the Spirit of God? It can start with a simple prayer of just saying, God, it's my desire to be led by you. R is repent. Repent's turning. It's saying, I'm sorry. God, I've been selfish. I've been living in sin. Even for me this week, it's been, God, I've just been trying to get by. And I've been missing out on what you have for me. So stop and repent. Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been doing that on my own. I ask you to forgive me. I turn to you. The why is yield. It's simply saying, God, I'm yours. Do what you want with me. Lead me, guide me, speak to me, direct me. I'm going to stop doing my agenda and I'm going to tune into yours. This is why we lift our hands in worship. I'm giving up. We also do this. Do you know that we do this when we're really excited too? I saw a picture once. It was the 18th green of the Masters tournament. Phil Mickelson, he's a lefty, sunk the winning putt. And what did everyone's hands do? They all went up. This is an act of worship to saying, you're awesome. It's part of yielding. God, I'm not saying that other things are awesome, I'm awesome. I'm saying you're awesome. And because you're awesome, God, I yield to you. Desire, repent, yield. I keep this in my back pocket, not literally, but figuratively, and find it often. It's just very helpful. But in order to do that, there's an extent to which you have to let go. A few months back, I was on a playground with my daughter, and she was so fearful because she's up on this playground. And I'll be honest, she was that high. But she had to jump to something else. And she was looking at it and looking at me, and she suddenly just broke down and was so scared. It was literally this far that she had to go. She could have gone twice as far if she had to, and I was right there. But in her fear, she just held on to where she was. She wouldn't take the next step. This simply is trusting God and saying, God, I know you've got me. I'm going to walk forward by faith. So will you take hold of it this morning? Will you walk forward by faith? You know, the rest of this passage hits us again with a little bit of an inventory. It tells us that the acts of the flesh are obvious. We know them when we see them. Sexual immorality, which is the Greek word is very broad in terms of what that means. All sorts of sexual immorality, impurity. Interestingly enough, the Greek word for impurity is akarthisa, which is where we get the word cathartic. It means not cathartic. Your mind's not clear. Idolatry, witchcraft, another interesting one. The Greek word for witchcraft is pharmakia, which we get pharmacy from. Witchcraft and drug use, there's a lot of history and hand in hand there. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. There's the flesh. But, another good but in this passage. But the fruit of the Spirit. And can we not use more of this in our life? This fruit of the Spirit is love. Remember what we're going after today? God wants you to be free. You know how much freedom there is in love? Joy, Wow, how free do you feel when you're alive with joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things, there is no law, friends. Do you want to see those things in your life? Walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Because in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you belong to Jesus, those passions, those desires of the flesh, they are not you anymore. That is the dead old self. They don't belong to you. They're not your identity. Your identity is wrapped up in Jesus. And here's what's crazy about this. If you belong to Jesus, every issue you have with sin is a case of mistaken identity. You're living a life that isn't yours anymore. You're stuck in a pattern that is already dead. You're running back to the jail cell. But you can't set yourself free. No, Jesus did that. And so now we have an obligation, what? Just to live in that freedom that he has given us. Verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Moment by moment, and this is what I pray for you guys this week. More and more keeping in step and learning to listen to God, to trust God, to mortify, to put away, to put to death our sinful tendencies. Friends, you were called to be free. The Spirit of God in you has set you free. Walk in it this week. Come back here next week and tell someone what Jesus did in your life this week as you trusted in him and walked in the power of his Spirit. I'm going to close in prayer, but in doing so, I want to pray over you, Romans 8, 12 through 14. Would you bow your heads with me? It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room, that you would draw to attention and bring to conviction the area of sin in our lives. That you would clear our mind of distraction and the ways that we self-medicate and numb ourselves and just try to move on, Father God. But may we see and hear from you. Lord, for those in this room that feel stuck and feel like they can't be forgiven or what they've done is too bad or they're just holding on to it, Father God, may they just experience and just be overwhelmed by your love and by your presence, Father God. Knowing that you have set them free, and if they haven't said yes to you, that they can say yes to you today and experience your love, your forgiveness, your newness of life, the freedom that is in Jesus Christ. Father God, for those that have said yes to your freedom, may they just be powerful for you this week. May they experience a sensitivity to you leading them and speaking to them that encourages them and challenges them in ways where they would just know without a shadow of a doubt you are there. And for those struggling to know your presence, Father God, may you just shower love on them too. And may we be a church that is free this week, that chooses life and liberty over sin and slavery. We love you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.